Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5, FM Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9, FM Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Friday, folks. It's frickin' Friday. Another frickin' week. Frickin' weekend's coming up. And I'm frickin' ecstatic when I consider the possibilities. It's also the 19th day of May, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me a little bit. Well, it's currently 64 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 71 degrees today in the for the Klamath Basin, and just really a beautiful day, man. Summer's just, I mean, so close, and I see the temperatures heating up to like 82 by Tuesday. Man, summer, finally at last. I think I might make it. Anyhow, let's see what we're going to get into today. Well, more of the same. I mean, yeah, I don't know. We guys will beat the hell out of this dead horse. Foreign-born workers now account for 17% of U.S. labor force. And this is a good thing, and we'll tell you why as soon as we return from these messages from your from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, foreign-born workers now account for 17% of the U.S. labor force. And you know, if they give you a number, you can times it times three. But and they tried to put a positive spin. You know, like it was just one of those fait accompli. Something we're just going to have to accept. I don't think so. This is from Dallas Morning News. It was sent in by the Rev for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Immigrants represent a steadily growing share of the American workforce. Well, they shouldn't. A trend that could be interrupted by U.S. efforts to overhaul immigration policy. The number of foreign workers in the U.S. rose to nearly 27 million. Hey, people, how many of our American nationals are out there living in tent cities with children? You know, lost everything, worked 20, 30, 40 years. I mean, people with degrees and shit, they're living out on the streets, while 27 million foreigners are here, you know, well, driving the wages down and taking, but they only want to pick lettuce, don't you know? They want to do those. We don't want to do those jobs that they do. Up about 700,000 from the previous year and representing 16.9% of the nation's labor force, according to an annual report from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics released Thursday. So, you know, they say it's about 60%. So you take off 16 from that and what you got, 50? What, 40? What, 43%? 43% of Americans actually working. And I mean, that's what they're calling the workforce. You know, the rest of us, we quit and we went on opium. Cause it's a lot better than working and having a life and having a house and, you know, food on the table. It's so much funner just to be, well, just sitting around the streets doing opium, I guess. That's what we're doing. In the tents. So we must be doing opium in the tents. We can afford opium when we're in our tents. Okay. That's the highest proportion in in records going back to 1996 when migrants accounted for just 10.8% of the workforce. And it's not migrants. You see how they try to mix these apples and oranges? Foreign-born workers. No, what they're talking about is the illegal invasion and the repopulation of this country. The recolonization force is what we're talking about here, 10.8% of the workforce. The share has risen steadily over the last 6 years, following a slight dip during the last recession when foreign-born workers suffered disproportionately. No, they didn't. I mean, God, who was this? Daily Morning News, you commie bastards. Suffered disproportionately as the collapse in the housing market. Well, I guess maybe they did because, you know, that's what they told us, you know, as they were taking all of our jobs. You know, I was running truck out in them days and, you know, thankfully I knew a little bit of Espanol. So when I could come up to the docks, I actually got loaded before a lot of people because I could talk to the son of a bitches. But, I mean, all over the country, I was all over this country and, you know, all the jobs working in the warehouses and, you know, the loading docks and, all the shipping. I mean, but shit, 90% of them, I'd say I would have to say illegals because they couldn't speak goddamn English. But you know, it's nothing we should get upset about. They wanted remember they told us they wanted the jobs we didn't want to do. You guys don't want to go out there and pick their ladies, do you? No, but we will, you know, run a loading dock and we'll run a warehouse, you know, because that used to be the good money. That used to be middle class unemployment. I mean, employment. It's unemployment now. Let's see, where were we at? 1996 to 2016, the entire force rose by, where were we? Foreign-born, disproportionately. Oh, yeah. A collapse in the housing market took a toll on construction employment, and they were. I mean, down in Vegas, that Vicente Fox, I remember I was heading out somewhere to pick up some goddamn, something to make cement or something. I can't remember. But I seen it out there. Fox, Vicente Fox, I mean, just acres and acres and acres of the development as, you know, outside Vegas there, it just goes out into the desert. And Reno, man, from Reno, it just, you know, sprawls out into the desert. Anywhere you go down there, in Nevada, you get close to the cities and you can just see that it was just one housing developed after another housing development and all, you know, owned by Mexicans, being developed by Mexicans for Mexicans. Well, here, right in the United States, you know, this country that's supposed to belong to you and me. Oh, construction employment. From 1996 to 2016, the entire labor force rose by about 25 million, half of which came from gains among those born outside the United States. The data shows, and the data also showed, all through the Obama administration, every job that, you know, we had all of our industry shipped out of this country. We paid to have it shipped out through NAFTA. But, you know, and we got, in return, we got the international franchises like Big Lots and all these retail stores. And, you know, it was a real good deal, you know, giving up your $30 job for a $10 an hour job. And all of those jobs that were created by the Obama administration, well, every single one of them, we read the report right on the air, every single one of them went to the foreigners. Period. If they weren't here illegally, then they went to HB1 visa holders. The report defines foreign-born workers as individuals who reside in the United States, but were born outside the country to parents who were not American citizens. Well, that sounds to me like a goddamn illegal invasion. I mean, your parents were born in another country, you were born to parents from another country, but they see they try to mix here again, apples and oranges. Oh, it's them kids that came here. They didn't have no choice, and they're the ones taking all your jobs, but it's all right because you should love them. And it's not true. None of it's true. It doesn't distinguish between legally admitted immigrants, refugees, temporary residents, and undocumented immigrants. And, you know, there have been no legally admitted immigrants in how many years? I don't give a shit what they say. Well, we got this system running. Hey, man, if you're not enforcing the law, don't try to bullshit me. Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining. Oh, some of them we got here all right. You know, if one part of it's sour and bad, all of it is. And like I said, they lowball everything. I mean, like 17% of U.S. labor force, I would say probably 30. I mean, you look at it. I don't have to tell you people. You go out, you're out there in the public, and you look around. How many of what percentage would you say of the workforce is foreigners? Even people who can't speak your language. Maybe 50, 60%? Let's be honest about it. The figures surface as the Trump administration's immigration proposals. I mean, this is what it reads, and this is why these articles are so goddamn hard to read. It reads, the figures surface as the Trump administration's immigration proposals, the construction of a wall. Well, what the hell are you talking about? A mixed, maybe, amongst the immigration proposals, the construction of the wall on the southern border, a travel ban on citizens of six mostly Muslim countries, and a threat to withholding funding from jurisdictions that don't cooperate with federal immigration authorities, face legal challenges and resistance among some lawmakers in Congress, and we've talked about this before. We went over the numbers. You'd have to deport we said it was like, goddamn, 4,000 a day? 4,000, you think? I think it was more than that. It seemed like it was maybe 14,000 a day. Would have to be deported every day. Now, they had a big write-up in the paper the other day down there in Los Angeles. They got 168 of them in one day, while 500 were crossing the border as they were picking up the 168. This is just more bullshit to drag you on down the road a little further. So, they're going to get around to it. They're going to get around to saving the country sooner or later, as soon as they get all their money made. And as soon as they got their fortunes secured, because, you know, they were really nervous about their fortunes that had expanded since 2008. Record profits for all the filthy rich, while everybody else, you know, less and less every day. Poorer and poorer. But hey, man, I think that's really what this article's trying to do, is string you down. Construction of the wall, no, remember that was supposed to be happening right now as I'm talking to you. March was, well, we're goddamn a month late already, but hey, we're not even going to talk about it again until September, because we got money to talk about. When you talk about money, you can't talk about walls. That takes money for the walls, but you can't take about money. I think that it's a conundrum, and we're not going to see no goddamn wall. We're not going to see any. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just researching that yesterday on Serbia and Hungary. Hungary and Serbia started their border fence in July of 2015, and it's 109 miles long. They got it up in no time at all. It's also armed and patrolled, and I'm sure they have drones in real time looking at what's coming over. And they started a second fence, which, if my facts were right when I saw this, was 325 miles for an addition or a backup fence, and it's like they got it up in no time at all. Why haven't we started the wall?
Because it's not a pipeline. It was a gimmick. I mean, during the campaign, there was at one point in the campaign, they had a report. It went out one day, and they said that Trump had said that, well, I'm just out there, I'm just bullshitting them. This is campaign rhetoric.
Hungary's also one of those other countries without a central bank, and they're holding on for dear life to keep their sovereignty. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. The thing is, you're not going to see none of this shit happen. There was never any intent. This was a con man selling you a con. And now that you've bought, hey, the thing is, if you're still there, so what if he just turns around and says, well, he has, you know, we're not going to do it now. What do you do now? Or we'll vote you out next time? Is that what?
I talked to you.
Yeah, go
two
ahead.
Weeks ago, and I mentioned that other part of his platform was to stop the congressmen from becoming lobbyists for 5 years after they leave office, and that'll be it for me if he doesn't come through with that.
Well, I mean, I don't know how any he's over there, you know, man. With what, I mean, he goes into the White House. He was going to clear that swamp out too, wasn't he? Steve Mnuchin, you realize that he was the CEO of Goldman Sachs when all this derivatives fraud went down. He should be sitting in a federal prison or put up against a goddamn wall for what he did to our country. And then you have Wilbur Ross. I mean, he's known as the bankruptcy king of Wall Street. He's Rothschilds. Donald Trump is there because the man, you know, he filed like 9 bankruptcies and came through it a billionaire. He has been put there for to liquidate our property here in the United States, and that's exactly what he's doing. You, what promise has he kept?
Yeah. It's really sad what's happening right now, and people are just so oblivious because they don't get away from the television and do their own research and really think independently now, because all the television has given us now is propaganda. They even had another merger with, now we're down to 5 corporate media, most probably foreign owned, that are shoveling us our news information all the time now, and it's also what they get paid for is not to report.
Oh, absolutely. And another thing Donald Trump said, he wasn't going to be out there dropping bombs on other countries, and he's dropping bombs on other countries. I mean, he's an Israeli puppet. I mean, he's a Zionist puppet. You got his son-in-law. You got his son-in-law over there. I mean, they're running your. You do realize that these Jews are running your country, right? That the so-called Jew. Go ahead.
When Michael Chertoff was running the scanners for the airports, and I realized his dual Israeli citizenship, and then this Lieberman, I think, is a dual Israeli citizenship, and then you look at how many of the politicians are dual Israeli citizenship, even under Obama. It seems like we've been taken over.
Henry, maybe this guy, I mean, he sounds new and welcome. Maybe he doesn't know about the War Powers Act. And, you know, it's not even a government. It's a, you know, it's a cabal. It's a corporation. Do you know that, caller?
But I could look it up and do my own research. I mean, I know about the Balfour Declaration. I know that Israel was supposed to start in Uganda around 1900. But then things moved along with the Rothschilds that brought it into Palestine and all that. But I'd like to step aside now and give it to other callers.
Okay, that's cool, but I want you to just hear a couple more things I got to say here. Look up the Trading with the Enemies Act and the War Powers Act, because it is under the War Powers Act that our common law courts and our Bill of Rights has been removed. Our jurisdiction to govern ourselves has been removed, and it's been removed since 1933. And every 2 years, it has to be re-signed by the president because it is martial law.
And we are booty.
Exactly. We're war booty. That's exactly what we're described as in the Trading of the Enemies Act.
Americans just don't know about 1871. They don't know about the Jekyll Island in 1909, and they don't know about what happened in 1933. It's really sad. Thank you.
You betcha. Here in the trenches, we know. We know.
There'll be no wall, and he filled the swamps up with more alligators.
Goddamn right. You're exactly. I mean, it's a reality. It's taken. I mean, he ain't even been in there. He's been in there about 4 months. And I mean, they're already talking. I mean, it's really crazy because they're, you know, the psycho communists are talking impeachment and stuff over ridiculous shit and, you know, throwing up the smoke screen while they're going and carrying out the agenda that Hillary Clinton would have carried out. I mean, there's no difference. They just handed off. They just sold it to the American people. I'm telling you, people, I said it at the beginning. They could not have gotten enough people out to vote with the communists, because the communists only made up 6%. We knew that because the other side of it, being the Bushes, good old Jebby Bush, he couldn't pull no more than 6% in the primaries. And they had him, you know, he was already won. Presumptive winner on the right was Jeb Bush. Presumptive winner on the left was Hillary Clinton. That was it. Hillary already won. We got to just go through the motions here. But what they found out is just everybody is ready to go to war. And so they had to pull something out of their hat, and right out of the think tanks come one Donald Trump. A showman. And I mean, the son of a bitch, he has to know that the people are understand exactly what he's done by now. But this should be the affirmation for anybody. When you see him stand up there and act like everything's hunky-dory and he's going, and I'm for America, you lying piece of trash. And your sorry-ass hairdo. At any rate, I mean, right up until whatever happens, we'll be reading articles like this. You know, this was the main issue. This is what got people to go out and participate in the fraud again, was this promise. Oh, man, if only, you know, that would be quite a thing. If only They would remove all the legal aliens. Remember, he said he was going to get rid of every single one of them, and they'd have to come back legally. There would be a great wall, but there would be a door, and you'd have to come back through that door legally. Everybody had to leave and then come back again. Now you have him. You know, he's signed on to DACA. You know, that he, all through his campaign, that illegal executive order, signed right onto it, signed onto the War Powers Act. It's just, you know, it was to buy time, and it was to stall, because they weren't ready. I mean, they had completely miscalculated. The communists had, you know, told their upper echelon that, oh yeah, goddamn, the United States, we got them all. Look at, showing them pictures of people walking around with their goddamn pants hanging down around their knees, and it's really groovy, and this is your American, this is, oh, we got them, man. And they knew better. But, you know, that was, it was always forward and push on and lie and defraud. And maybe you make it, maybe you don't. If the people fall apart, maybe you make it. But then they found out, you know, what they always knew. Every one of them, I've said it before, they think they don't know what's going on out in the streets. They don't know that 75% of the people are saying, bullshit. We're not going to do this. Bullshit. And then, but all they had to fool was 25%. I mean, that's really who is effing up our lives here, is 25% of our own treasonous ass people. The people who went out and participated in a goddamn foreign election. Because this is not our government. It cannot be. But the war powers removed our form of government in 1933. And the 14th Amendment, it being enforced, removed, and the idea of the republic clear back in, 1871. That's how long it has been gone. But, I mean, as long as they can sell a con to a handful, I guess, I mean, we always talk about, you know, the fact that this government has to have the acquisition of the people. They have to have the consent of the people. At what point do you call it that ain't consent? Only a quarter? I mean, they talk about democracy, democracy, democracy. Democracy is 51%. To carry a decision, isn't it? Or am I missing something? Is my math wrong? You've only got 25%, and you're calling that an acquisition by the people? You're calling that our consent? When the rest are screaming out, hell no? This is why, at this point, we've said it all along, you know, we can't tolerate this shit anymore. Out of these goddamn treasonous ass bastards calling themselves Trumpies, or the ones that the communists. They need to be beaten down into God. At some point, people, I mean, we talk about this all the time, and we talk about war. War is, you know, trading bullets and killing folks back and forth. But how, I mean, people say, where are we at in this? Well, I don't think we're that goddamn close yet. If you ain't willing to shout somebody down on the street, how are you going to shoot them down on the battlefield? If you're afraid to talk, but you're not afraid to shoot? You are acquiescing to their bullshit through your silence. It should have been a scream across this country a long goddamn time ago. In 2008, when these goddamn robber barons, these international robber barons like Steve Mnuchin, when they committed international fraud, when they took our people's 401ks, I mean, took their homes. All of these bad loans. They just went and borrowed money from, we borrowed money from them to give to them. So we just took the debt that their fraud created and put it on our grandchildren. And by God, we knew we were doing it. They told us we were doing it. The people that were hired, the regulators, nobody went to jail. And they said, yes, this was fraud on an international scale. But hey, they're too big to fail. Now that means that you have an aristocracy that's above the rest of the people that can't be subject to the law, because we have the aristocracy being there to lord over us as the slaves is more important than, well, their actions, their criminal actions. And again, I mean, that's what, that really blew me away. I kid you people not. In 2008, I mean, I'm sitting there going, they are going to start arresting some of these son of a bitches, right? These bankers like Steve Mnuchin. CEO of Goldman Sachs when all this shit went down. He should have been one of the first to be arrested. And then you come up to the next election, and they put out that goddamn, what the hell was his name? The Republican era. I can see his face. Why am I doing this? Brain lockup. And nobody's telling me. Oh, what the hell was his name? The candidate that ran against Obama. Come on.
Oh,
people.
Who was that?
Man, I can't believe this. Lori ain't even telling me. I'm lost here. I can't go on. I quit. Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney. They put Mitt Romney up because, I mean, because they wanted Obama in there they're going to run another fraudulent ass election. And before they came up on the election, they were talking about replacing, Obama because, goddamn, it was just, nobody's going to, I mean, we were at that 6% we were talking about. But who do they get? They get Mitt Romney. Why Mitt Romney? Because who in the hell would vote for Mitt Romney? I mean, he was a part of, what the hell was his little Bain Capital. He was part of the group shipping our goddamn industry out of this country and then taking the money that they're making off and putting it offshore. And it was all, I mean, nobody, no person. I mean, we just got wiped out by these bastards. Nobody will vote for him, and they didn't. But you turn around and you voted for a billionaire. He just came out and flashed a few. I'm going to throw all the illegals out of here is all he had to tell you. Oh, damn. Okay, I'll vote. You voted for a millionaire. Now, Steve Mnuchin, the head of Goldman Sachs, who didn't go to jail, who was too big to fail, is sitting in your goddamn White House. Right, he's got to hold your treasury. It's over,
jobs,
people. Goddamn. Go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
Jobs.
That's what it's about, brother. Anyways, guys, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Down the road here from me, there's an old holler tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again, there's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you'll fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporRebellion.com.
This one's for all you voters out there.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy.
and vote.
In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy
and vote.
Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy.
And vote.
The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry, be happy.
And vote.
When you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this. Don't worry, it will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry, be happy.
And vote.
I'm not worried. I'm happy.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches, from the TrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Joliquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1236 Pacific Time. And that was Bobby McFerrin with Don't Worry, Be Happy, and Vote. Oh, man, how disgusting. And that's, Jesus, maybe he'll, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that can be the next campaign song for the next charlatan that steps up and vote. New Orleans to take down Robert E. Lee statue on Friday. This is from CBS News. It was sent in by Brandon Ward for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. The city of New Orleans will take down a prominent statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee on Friday, completing the southern city's removal of four Confederate-related statues that some call divisive. It's history. It's communists. Removing your history. That's what communists do. You have to get rid of all of the things in the past, including the people. You get well. See, when you finally get rid of all the statues, and you've got your communist regime in place, then you take the last remnants of the past, that is the memories of the people, and you take and you blow them out the front of their heads with a 40 caliber bullet and kick their ass over into a ditch and bury them, and the conquest is complete. Unlike the first three statues, city officials plan to take Lee's statue down during the day, with Mayor Mitch Landry, this communist piece of trash, planning a major speech Friday afternoon to explain his reasoning. Well, it's because you're being taken over by communists and they have to get rid. I mean, we went over this and over this. You know, you got to go tear down the Colosseum over there and over there in Rome because, hey, man, you talk about doing slavery, nasty, rotten shit connected with a structure. And I mean, there's a lot of statues, too. I mean, of Caesar and all those things. They've got to be destroyed, right? Because they represent oppression, not history, oppression, racism, don't you know? Police placed barricades around Lee Circle, CBS affiliate WWL-TV reports. In a news release obtained by the Associated Press, the city said the statues were erected decades after the Civil War to celebrate the cult of the Lost Cause, a movement recognized across the South as celebrating and promoting white supremacy. Not really, white supremacy. Now, they didn't put them up because that was a separate country. I mean, carving up there on Mount Rushmore, not Mount Rushmore, but there in the Dakotas, they're carving one of Crazy Horse. We got to tear that down. We got to tear that down. He lost the war. The Indians lost the war. Monuments that they have, the museums, they need to be completely burned down. All this stuff needs to be, crushed into rubble. It needs to be removed. They lost. We don't want that kind of history. I mean, and they did kill Americans, didn't they? The cult of the Lost Cause, huh? Landre had proposed the removal of the monuments after the 2015 massacre. It was a massacre of nine black passionaries of a South Carolina church. Did that even occur? I mean, what false hasn't been a false flag? Well, can anybody, when you hear these, C. Shepherd Smith go into the white room and he starts reporting, right then and there I write down false flag. I don't know if these people were killed or not. Even if they were, if it happened, one person walked in and killed some people. And so you're gonna change history. You're gonna tear down monuments and shit over, well, you know, five people. How many people do you think, like I said, the Sioux Nation, how many Americans did they kill? You know, frontier people that slaughtered them, burned down their houses, burned their fields, took little children and hacked them to pieces, beat their heads against trees and stuff. But we want to forget all that, don't we? We want to take anything that reminds us of that and we want to destroy it, don't we? Those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it. Landry has proposed the removal of the monuments after 2015 massacre of nine black parishioners at a South Carolina church. The killer, Dylan Roof, was an avowed racist who brandished Confederate battle flags in photo. Brandish. I thought like a brandish, you know, it'd be like a knife or a gun, you know. He brandished a Confederate battle flag, a piece of cloth with some marking on it. Confederate battle flags and photos. That recharged the debate over whether Confederate emblems represent racism or an honorable heritage. Man, I mean, you think of the people that were killed at places like Antietam and Gettysburg. I mean, you talk about people, I mean, something you don't want to forget that should never be forgotten. But no, we want to scoop that. I mean, we had nine people killed. I mean, some, if you believe it, some asshole went and shot nine people, so... Man, we got to start tearing it. Why stop there? I mean, let's go back Mount Vernon. We got to tear that down because I mean there were slaves owned there, people. And you think that ain't where this is headed? You're clear out of your goddamn mind. They get away with this. You know, it's like these communists. They tell you, you know, we just want this one more little gun control thing. Just one more. You know, if we could get these background check things, that's it. That's all that's all we want. What's so unreasonable about that? And as soon as that goes, well, we want this, and this is how communism works. They chip away, chip away, chip away, and pretty soon there's nothing left, just like these monuments. I mean, you take this the history of the South from the South. The South ain't the South no more, and that's really what it's all about. And you get the history of the United States out of the United States, and the United States never was the United States. It was just a collection of cultures, because you got these Zionists coming in and rewriting your history and telling you, well, there was never no really American national kind of people. They were just a mixture of all these other nationalities that came here with these different heritages and these different cultures. And that, remember the melting pot? Remember when they selling you on the melting pot? We're all going to meld together. And if anybody immigrates in here, they're gonna assimilate to our culture. We're a people. We have a culture. Well, at one point in the ballgame, man, I mean, they tell you that, you know, you're the leader of the free world. You are a bastion of freedom. When you look over there, well, there's really what represents that bastion of freedom. You took all the people away. You took all the culture away. The culture that didn't exist, because we never had a culture. Don't you know any of you people believe that? You know, you people being in the trenches and being here, you know, raising hell about this proves we did have somewhat of a culture, didn't we? And that is what they're trying to destroy. At the time, they're telling you that you have to bend over backwards to every other culture, all the cultures that you've actually defeated. My dad said it, you know, we've whipped the world, and we have. We defeated every other culture. We came out on top. So you got the cream. What you want to do is destroy the cream. And you get rid of the cream and just leave this little milky, whatever it is that's left in the, well, the swamp. You know, in the pond, the scum on the bottom of the pond. That's what you want, that's what you want to bring up to the top, and this is what you have left. You want to erase, the people who tamed a continent, brought its resources to bear, created the 19th, 20th, and 21st century, you know. This has to be destroyed. It has to be destroyed. And the reason is because it is the only time in history that a people have risen up against the monarchs and said, no, you son of a bitch, you put your pants on one leg at a time like I do. I could bitch slap you down to the ground, and you think you can rule me? Because I don't think so. I think I'll shoot you. I think I'll shoot your ass out of this country. And since the crown heads were shot out of this goddamn country, because it wasn't just Britain, it was France, and it was goddamn Spain. Since they were shot out of this country, and it's been just an irritation to them that we exist. You think about us, somebody like me, Henry Shively, living up in the mountains in Oregon in his little rot house, and he thinks he's on a par with the crown heads of Europe. Well, I am, because you know what? We discovered something. Your goddamn clothes and the goddamn people that suck your ass do not make you nothing. We bitch slap you down because we're tougher than you are and we're smarter than you are. That's why we kicked your ass out of here. That's why we're going to kick your ass out again. And see, they couldn't come over here because we've talked about this before. There was no way for a land invasion to work on this continent. There's too goddamn many of us. Too big a place. Too many guns. So we'll do it like the sleaze fucking weasels we are. We're going to sleaze in. We're going to slime up. And we're going to do it through fraud and deception. And we're going to bring your children. We're going to go to the children. We're afraid of the men. We're going to get back away from the men. First, we're going to give the women control over the men so we can try to make women out of the men. And then we're going for your children. We're going to teach them that the things that make you who you are no good. It's bad. You don't want to be like your fathers and your grandfathers. Oh, they were terrible, horrible, nasty, rotten people. You want to be a modern day communist, a one world citizen. That's what you want, little child. Now come on up here. And then, you know, and they prey on your stupidity and they prey on your ignorance. We want it. This is a rich country. Your children should be educated. The government should provide education for your children. The government that would rule you. The government that would take you over to that ditch and put a bullet in your head. They should provide the education. They should teach your children so they can get your little children and teach them that you are God. You don't want to be like your parents and your grandparents and your great grandparents and your great great grandparents. You know, my great great grandfather. On two sides, on my dad's mom's, it would have been her father or grandfather, and then my dad's dad's father or grandfather fought on opposite sides of that right there in good old West Virginia when it was still Virginia, and just in, on there on the Kentucky border. And, I seen it when I was a kid. I mean, my grandfather that was fought for the South, they had his battle saber. Not just cut in it. It was real, real old. I remember it was so cool to get to check it out. But, you know, I should be ashamed of that my grandfather had the balls to stand up and fight. oppression, because you know what? He didn't own nobody. He did his own work. He just didn't want those the northern carpetbaggers, the industrialists, the international industrialists, the Zionist Jews that had captured the north to come up and capture his individual freedoms. So he went out and fought, and he fought like a man. And but I don't want to look back on that. There's got to be some. I mean, I'm Richard Simmons or something I can look at to try to make me the man I should be. And this is what they're offering you people as they tear down the monuments to your past, to who you are. That's actually the center goal there, is to destroy the person, the individual. That's how collectivism works. You have to destroy the individual. They have to get rid of that Bill of Rights, because that makes us individuals. That makes us, like I said, kings. Each man a king, each woman a queen, each daughter a princess, and each son a duke. A prince. And with that in mind, who could ever rule you? And then looking back in your history at how your people have fought, I mean, you look at that Civil War, I mean, you ever seen anything so goddamn vicious? Did you think human beings were capable of such shit? They don't want you to know. It's like when you listen to that song, Lookout Mountain, you know, the guys know they're dying, but goddamn, you know what, you son of a bitch, we're fighting. You're going to have to kill every goddamn one of us just to take this fucking hill, let alone our country or our rights. That was the resolve. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Dion again.
Hey, brother, how's it going?
Man, it's going wonderful, man. You know what? You know, we come back to the same thing. People are just so ignorant to history. Like I said before, man, I'm a black guy. And it's like when you go back and you really look at history, you know, and you really, not the history that they have thrown upon us, you know, what they want us to know. These people are so ignorant. You know, like I said before, it was indentured servants. There were white people right beside black people. There were black slave owners in Louisiana, in Alabama, but they never tell you that. I wonder why. They want to keep people ignorant to the facts. And, you know, some people are so stupid, and they just want to stay inside that ignorant zone. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, all this old racism, you know what? I'm a Confederate soldier, god dang it, you know. I'm from the South. And I'll be on the Confederate side each and every day, because I don't want these Zionist copperbaggers taking up what I have. And that's what they have done.
They won't tell you, but there's a lot of black people that fought for the South. I mean,
exactly,
man.
Exactly.
And when they came to liberate the blacks off the plantations, what did they do? They left them starving. What they did is took their livelihood away from them. I mean, there's nothing good there's nothing good about slavery. Nobody will ever sell me on it. I do not, the thought of some other person, you know, I've said this before, you know, when it goes through my mind that really just makes it. And like you say, there was white slavery. There were blacks that owned slaves, just like there were Indians out in the West that owned slaves. Lots of slaves. White slaves, black slaves, brown slaves. It's always been there, but this is how they use an issue and twist it. This is the attorneys. That's why they call an attorney a turner, an attorney. The word a turn means to twist. They're twisting.
Twist the words.
You goddamn right. They're twisting everything to put it on its head. You know, I spent a bit of time back east and in the South, and I was born in Florida, to tell you the truth. You know, I'm a Southern myself. And my family comes from old Virginia. I won't even call it West Virginia, because that was what a carpetbagger did to it. But the bottom line is, if things would have just went at a normal pace, you know, if it hadn't have been for the agitators and the people who, they were just, you know, they could have, every one of them could have made, fortunes ain't enough for these people. They want to own slaves. I mean, these same people, these bastards right here, like this Mitch Laudrey, this mayor, that son of a bitch has made slaves, and he knows it. He's made slaves out of everybody. The 14th Amendment didn't. The 13th Amendment freed the black people. The 14th Amendment made us all slaves again, all of us. And until people copped it, but like, you're right, man. I mean, the thing is, I'll tell you what, buddy. This is why. Because if you cop to it, then either you're a coward, or else you got to stand up and fight it. And you could get hurt.
You know what, Henry? I found out that most people are cowards, man.
Yes, they are.
To tell people what's really going on, you know, I said, y'all have no idea the depths of your liberty, how free you're supposed to be.
Yep.
I said, they feed you this BS, like you're so free. But I said, you go out there and you don't wear a seatbelt and you'll end up dead. How's that free? I said, who in the hell is that bothering that you don't wear a seatbelt in a car? It's your life. I said, why would they even make a so-called law, and these illegal police, that's what I call them.
They are.
They're illegal. I mean, they come out here and they want to police our lives about a seatbelt. I said, who is that bothering?
Well, you know, it's like I tell everybody, you know, with the divide that they put in there. If we were under the common law, each and every one of us would have equal right. I don't care if there's 1,000 men standing out there and every one of them is a millionaire. I'm standing there and I ain't got no money in my pocket. I am an equal to each and every one of them or all of them put together. That's the way the Bill of Rights works. And, you know, it's like, you know, they sold the civil rights things to the black people in the 60s. It wasn't civil rights you needed. You needed to enforce that Bill of Rights.
Bill of Rights.
You goddamn right. If you first enforce that Bill of Rights, any wrongs done to a man, no matter what his color, he goes and he goes through the procedures in the Bill of Rights and he gets redress for his grievance. It's that goddamn simple. And if it was, had it been, you know, run the way it was supposed to be and enacted the way it was supposed to be, we would have the riches of this country, and I got a real suspicion that we wouldn't have no beef with one another, man. We would have if anybody who wanted our country's rich. Anybody who wanted to get up and do, even if you just want to sit on your ass, you're still rich. It's your inheritance. But the people who wanted to go out and endeavor, you know, because like myself, I have to be doing something. I cannot sit. I have to be doing something, and there's a whole lot of things I'd like to be doing. But I got to be doing this. The bottom line is, people, we would have thrived, and it would have belonged to us. And I tell you, nobody had been looking at this by this time in our history. Color of skin, it would have been a foreign notion in our minds. It wouldn't. I mean, we would be Americans living well. Hey, yeah, brother, right on. You're happy. Me too, man. We're loving it. That's what they took from us. They stole it all, and they had to blame it on somebody. So we have to blame it on each other for what's been stolen from us and the miserable condition we find ourselves in, so that we don't go and hang their goddamn asses because they're the few and we're the many. It's that simple.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? You know, you try to tell people about civil rights. I mean, you know, those are government rights that are given to you. I try to tell ignorant people that. I say, hell, if they can give it to you, they can take it away.
It.
I say, if you go and have your Bill of Rights where you're on a plan to even feel with everyone, you won't have to worry about that. You don't want no civil rights.
Nope. A civil right is a government granted rights. And you know, the theory of the civil right, you know, I heard some yo-yos talking about the other day and didn't have a goddamn clue what they were talking about. A true civil right, according to Payne, was a right based, was a civil acknowledgement of a right that already existed as a natural right. I mean, you know, it would be the equivalent, it would be just like in the common law. We understand that, that you can't take somebody's property away from them without going through the process of the law. I mean, without saying you know, you have to go through the procedures of the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th articles of the document through the procedures to get your redress. We just say that, you know, it's just common knowledge, and that would be what a civil right is acknowledged by the government that actually the Bill of Rights is the ultimate civil right that they do not recognize. The bottom line is the Bill of Rights makes them subservient to the people. The Ninth Article forbids them to have any power to touch our Bill of Rights or our common law in our common law courts. But here we are under these war powers. The Ninth Article is the key to all of this. And all of the people out there, I mean, going 100 different directions, it has to be for ulterior motives. Because if you're going to fight this goddamn war and you're going to put this thing aright, it's simple. The Ninth Article, that's what, we're writs. Written on the Ninth Article. You are in violation of the Ninth Article. We are commanding you to obey the law. If you do not, we will enforce the law with the Second Article. That's how simple this whole thing could be. But I mean, just like when you started what we're talking about here with the race thing, you know, back and forth with the, you know, pitting that race against that race, this religion against that religion, old against young, man against woman. You keep the divide there, and then everybody has their little groups and their special issues, and you never get together as a force that could just wipe their ass out in a single day. And they know it. This is the only way they've survived. This is how they continue to survive. If everybody just came up together and said, you know what? We're enforcing the Bill of Rights. Ninth Article. We're gonna write them a writ. We're gonna write them a writ, and that writ's gonna say you are in violation of the Ninth Article. You have created powers that cannot exist as they are infringements upon our Bill of Rights. You have removed our common law courts. You have removed our common law rights. You have removed our common law authority without any authority to do so because the Ninth Article forbids it. Now you will obey the law. You will step down. You will step aside, and we're going to reconstruct the offices. We're going to refill the offices with legitimate adherence to the contract that we put forth. And you just go. If you don't go, we're coming and we're going to hang your ass. And you're going to hang anyway. I mean, God damn it, you think like you people can't read. This has been, I mean, from the get-go with the, you know, the Federalist Papers, the Constitution being put together with the Commerce Clause and the goddamn General Welfare Clause. It was their intent. The people back then who wrote the Anti-Federalist Papers told you this is what they're going to do. And that's exactly what they did. That's why they put that ninth article there. No matter what, how they tried to construe any kind of scam, the ninth article stood there. No, you just really can't do that because that power cannot exist. The people are the power. They are the grantors of the power. We do not grant you any power, according to the ninth article, that fucks with our rights, that touches them in any way. It's that simple. And it's that simple that everybody should understand it. But like you said, people are cowardly. They've got their comfort zones. Some of them have, you know, been rewarded well for their duplicity and their actions against the rest of us. Anyways, guys, that was a good conversation. We are at the top of the hour. We will be back Monday, 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, don't worry, be happy and vote.
Man above, I have done all I can do.
Cookies!